Okay, today's daf is Yivamis daf Lamed Vav. We are holding on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. Last word on the line is Mesivei, and that's what we're up to, that last word on the line. Yesterday we started a discussion about someone who's Cholitz Lima Uberes. If a person does Chalitza on a woman who is pregnant, does that Chalitza work? Certainly the baby, if the baby does not survive, the baby is not a Vlad Shel Kayama, so the woman is going to require a Chalitza or a Yibum, but is the Chalitza or the Yibum that's done on such a woman, does that count as a Chalitza or a Yibum while she is pregnant, or does Chalitza slash Yibum have to be done after she's no longer pregnant? So we had a Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, where Chalitza Lima Uberes Vihi Pila, if she miscarries after she had a chalitza while she was pregnant, Rabbi Yochanan holds that she does not require chalitza min ha'achin. There's no necessity for any further chalitza. That chalitza works. And Reish Lakish holds sricha chalitza min ha'achin, that she does require another chalitza. That chalitza does not work. So we started to bring rayos for the different shitos in yesterday's daf. So let's begin. Meisveh, the Gemara continues this discussion. Meisveh, Hakonis is Yivimto. Someone does Yibum, v'nimtzeis mu'beres, and then it turns out that the woman he did Yibum on is pregnant. Harezu lo tinase tzarasa, the other wives of the deceased brother should not get married. Shemi yehe Vlad ben Kayama, because this baby may be a viable baby, and that's going to be problematic. Frak the Gemara, what do you mean? If the baby's a viable baby, that means that the man who died had a child. And if he had a child, then none of the women should require Yibum or Chalitza. So why would we stop the Tsaros from getting married if it's a Ben Kayama? Adarabba, ki avi Vlad ben Kayama, miftara tzarasa. If the Vlad is a Vlad ben Kayama, if the baby is going to survive, then certainly the Tsaros should be totally parted from Yibum or Chalitza. Because then it turns out that the man had a child. That can't be what it means. Ela Ema, rather what we have to say is, Shema lo yehe Vlad ben Kayama. That we're concerned that maybe the Vlad's not going to be a Vlad ben Kayama, and therefore the Tsaros are going to require Yibum or Chalitza. But wait a second, this fellow did Yibum on one of the wives, on the wife that was pregnant, on the woman that was pregnant. And if you're going to say that doing Chalitza or Yibum on a woman that's pregnant works, why would we have to stop the Tsaros from getting married? Yibum or Chalitza was done on one of the wives of the deceased brother. If Bia on a Mu'uberes, on a pregnant woman, is considered a Yibum, it counts as a valid Yibum, why can't the other wives get married right away? They should be patur with the Bia that was done, with the Yibum that was done on the pregnant wife. So says the Gemara, so that seems to be a very clear raya, that Yibum on a pregnant woman does work, that it patters the necessity for chalitza or for any further chalitza or Yibum, which is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan against the shita of Reish Lakish. So the Gemara rejects this in a couple of ways. First of all, says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Bebiya Kuli Amalo Pligi Delo Patra. Enochinami, when it comes to Bia Anamu Uberes, everyone would agree that that does not count for the mitzvah of Yibum. Bia definitely does not work. Ki pligi b'chalitza. The whole machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish was whether chalitza smu'uberes counts as a chalitza. Yibum on a mu'uberes, certainly not. Rabbi Yochanan tzavar chalitza smu'uberes, shma chalitza, bia smu'uberes, lo shma bia. Rabbi Yochanan would say, the chalitza on a mu'uberes counts as a chalitza, but bia on a mu'uberes does not count as bia, does not count as yibum. And Reish Lakish tzavar bia smu'uberes, lo shma bia, v'chalitza smu'uberes, lo shma chalitza. And Reish Lakish says, no, it's across the board. Just like Bias Muberes is not considered a Yibum, it doesn't work as a Yibum when the woman is pregnant. Also, Chalitza on a pregnant woman doesn't work. So that's the real Machlokas. The whole Machlokas is only about Chalitza. But when it comes to Bia, when it comes to Yibum, everyone would agree that Yibum on a Mu'uberes is ineffective, and that's why the Brisa says you have to worry, maybe the Vlad is not going to be a Vlad Shel Kayama, and it will turn out that the Yibum that the guy did on the pregnant woman does not count, and there are no children, so all of the tzaros still require something. A chalitza, Yibum, they certainly can't go get remarried. That's the explanation of the Brisa. Amar le Rava, so Rava says to Abaye, well, wait a second, why does that make sense? Manavshach, Ibias mubaras shma bia chalitzas mubaras shma chalitza. If bias mubaras, if yibum on a pregnant woman counts as yibum, so then chalitza on a pregnant woman should count as chalitza. Vibias mubaras lo shma bia chalitza mubaras nami lo shma chalitza. And if bias mubaras does not count, then chalitzas mubaras shouldn't count either. Meaning your opinion, your version says Rava to Abaye of Rabbi Yochanan's shita that chalitzas mubaras is called the chalitza, but bias muberes is not called the yibum. Why would that be the case? Why would we distinguish between yibum and chalitza? After all, da kaimelan, the rule that we generally work with when it comes to yibum and chalitza is da kola ola li yibum ola li chalitza. V'kol she'en ola li yibum ein ola li chalitza. Whoever is yibum eligible is chalitza eligible. Whoever is not yibum eligible is not chalitza eligible either. So that's always the rule. Why would we say all of a sudden when it comes to a uberes that she is yes eligible for chalitza but not eligible for yibum? That's against the basic rule of how yibum and chalitza relate to each other. So all the Rishonim ask the Kasha, the Ramban, the Ritva, the Rashba, they all ask the Kasha that why is it b'chayav elavin and chayav asay? We had a Gemara previously on the Avchav Amaral that even though they're not royally Yibum, but they're Ola L'chalitza, meaning if a guy does Bia, if he does Yibum, he's not going to be Kona, but Tzricha Chalitza. If someone is Chayav Elav and Chayav Yasei, they do require Chalitza. Unlike the Arayos that we began the Masechta with, the 15 Arayos where it's more than just Chayav Elav and Chayav Yasei, talking Chayav Ekrisus and worse over there. So in those cases, there's not going to be any Zika at all. There's no requirement for Yibum or Chalitza. But we do have cases of Chayav Elav and Chayav Yasei where we require a Chalitza, but there is no possibility for Yibum. That breaks the rule as well. So as much as Rava wants to attack Abaye on Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, he could ask himself about every time we have Chayav Elav and Chayav Yasei. So the Meiri suggests what perhaps would be the simplest approach, and that is that when we say that she requires Chalitza by Chayav Elav and Chayav Yasei, it's only Midrabanan. That on the Raisa level in Echinami, she's not all Yibum, Melech, she's not all Chalitza either. It doesn't require Chalitza, but it's only the Midrabanan that we require Chalitza. But the majority of Rishonim don't seem to understand this way. The Achronim explain that the Rush and the Ramam, they're explained within the Shita of the Rush and the Ramam, the Rav Elchanan and others explain that there's a difference between Kol She'en Olibim Ein Ol Chalitza that says by an Erva, by the 15 women that we began the Masechta with, and by the Din of Mu'uberes. And the difference is that by an Erva, Kol She'en, there's no Zikas Yibum, and therefore there's no Zikas Chalitza either. Meaning there is no Zika whatsoever. There's nothing connecting the deceased brother's wives to the surviving brothers. So there's no need to be mafkia anything because there was never a Zika in the first place. So that's what we're saying, that if it's chaser the Zika for Yibum, so then you don't need a chalitza. The Ptur immediately kicks in. But when Muberes has a Zika, she has a full Zika for Yibum as well. It's just that Bepoel, at the time that she's a Muberes, you can't do the Yibum, so therefore there's a psul in the Torah in the Maisa Chalitza as well. So it's also a concept of Kol Olal Yibum, Olal Chalitza, Kol Shein Olal Yibum, Ein Olal Chalitza, but it's different by a Muberes than it is by an Erva. By an Erva, there's no Zika, so there's nothing to address. By a Muberes, there is a Zika, there's a connection, and it needs to be addressed. We just can't address it right now because she's pregnant. So you don't have the ability to address it. So how does that help us understand Bechayav Elav and Chayav Yasei? So the Anugantiv explains that Bechayav Elav and Chayav Yasei, there is no Zikas Yibum. But we learn from the Pasuk that there is a Zikas Chalitza, meaning that there is this concept that you could have a half of a Zika. So therefore we don't say Kol Shiyev Shalakayim Din Yibum, so you can't be Mekayim Din Chalitza. No, you can't be Mekayim Yibum because there's no Zikas Yibum. You can be Mekayim Din Chalitza because there is a Zikas Chalitza. So that's the pshat when it comes to Chayav Elavin and Chayav Yasei. It just means that someone who's Roy Lekayim Yibum, when there is is a zika, the rule that kol ali mol chalitza, kol shein ali meinol chalitza means that when there is a full zika, so if you're eligible for yibum, you're eligible for chalitza as well. And when there's no zika, so if you're not eligible for yibum, you're not eligible for chalitza. But in the case of chayev lav and chayev yaseh, you have sort of this half zika. That's the way the Achronim explain within the Shitas HaRash and the Shitas HaRambam. But the other group of Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, everyone from that school explains that the Chayavi Lavin and Asay, the Gemara Dafka has a special pasuk to learn from, that because it's Nisr Davar Acher Gorim, as opposed to Mu'uberes, is not Roy Liyibum, so it would just go back to being Eshesach Shlob Makom Mitzvah, and therefore not Roy for Chalitz as well. So essentially, there's just a pasuk that teaches us that it's different when it comes to Chayav Lav and Chayav Nasei. So back in our discussion, when it comes to Mu'uberes, to a pregnant woman having Yibum or Chalitza, Rabbi Yochanan Shita, the way Abaye understood it was that Yibum does not work, but Chalitza does work. Asks Rava, that's an impossibility. Anyone who Yibum does not work on, Chalitza should not work on either. And in the reverse, anyone who Chalitza does work on, Yibum should work on as well. Ella Amar Rava, rather Rava suggests the following. This is what it means to say. Hakonis yivimto v'nimtzeis mu'uberes harezu lo tinasei tzarasa. If someone does yibum on his yivama and it turns out she is pregnant, the other wives cannot get married yet. Shema yehe vlad ben kayama, because we're afraid that the vlad is going to be a vlad ben kayama. Ubias mu'uberes lo shma bia v'chalitzas mu'uberes lo shma chalitza. The bias mu'uberes does not count for anything, doesn't count as a yibum. The chalitza on a mu'uberes wouldn't count for anything. But wait a second, this woman doesn't need anything. It's a vlad ben kayama. There's no requirement for yibum or chalitza over here. Yes, that's correct, but here's the added point. Va'vlad eino poter ad sheyotzi la'avir ha'olam. A vlad will only pater from yibum or chalitza once he's born, once he's yotzi la'avir ha'olam. So right now, in this in-between state, while she's still pregnant with the deceased husband's baby, she's not going to require, in the end of the day, yibum or chalitza, but in the meantime, there still is some sort of zika. So we often think of, how do you get rid of zika? Zika can be gotten rid of with chalitza or with yibum. There's a third way to get rid of a zika, and that is having a vlad yotze la'avir ha'olam. The way this understanding works is that there is a zika in place right now. There is a zika yibum, and that creates an isser for all the wives to get married. They can't get married to anybody. But this zika can only be addressed through a vlad being yotzi la'avir ha'olam, because when a woman is pregnant, you don't have the ability to do yibum or chalitza. So it's an odd thing. Normally we think if there's a baby, mela, there's no zika. No, here's a baby, but the baby's not ready yet to address the zika, so there still is a zika, and the zika cannot be addressed in conventional ways of yibum and chalitza because she's pregnant. Tanya kavase de Rava, we have a brisa that says just like Rava, hakonis yivimto v'nimtzeis mu'beres, if a person does yibum and it turns out she's pregnant, harezu lo tinase tzarasa. The tzaros are not allowed to get married yet. Shemi ye vlad ben kayama, because the baby may be a viable baby. Ve'in bia v'chalitza poteres, and a bia and a chalitza on a pregnant woman does not work. El vlad poter, only the vlad will pater. Va'vlad in poter at sheyotze la'avir ha'olam, and the vlad is only going to pater once he actually comes out. La'avir ha'olam, once he actually emerges into this world, once he's actually born. So that is exactly the way Rava understood the brisa. That's exactly the way Rav understood it, that there has to be, whenever there's yibum, there's chalitza. Whenever there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. So the Gemara is now medayik. Taima de shamiye vlad ben kayamahu. The whole concern is that the reason the tzaros are not allowed to get married is because maybe the vlad is a ben kayama. Hello, avi vlad ben kayama miftar tzarasa. But wait a second, it sounds like if the vlad is not a ben kayama, if the vlad is not a ben kayama, if the vlad is not going to make it, the tzaros will become mutter, which would mean that the yibum you did on the pregnant woman when she was pregnant with a vlad that's not a ben kayama does work. We just need to verify first that the vlad is not a ben kayama. So if we would somehow know while she's pregnant that the vlad is not a ben kayama, that would mean that the yibum or chalitza you do on her does work. So says the Gemara, Leimatavi Tiyufta to Reish Lakish. This seems to be against Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish had said that when one does chalitza anumu uberes, she still requires chalitza mina achin. The chalitza is not valid. And over here it seems very clear that the chalitza would be valid so long as the vlad is not a ben kayama. So answers the Gemara, Amalacha Reish Lakish, hachi katani. Now Reish Lakish says, this is how you're supposed to read it. Hakonis yivimto v'nimtes muberes. A guy does yibum and it turns out that the woman he did yibum on is pregnant. Harezu lo tinase tzarasa. He should not, the tzara should not get remarried yet. Shema lo yehe avlad ben kayama. Not that the, maybe the baby is a ben kayama. Maybe the baby is not a ben kayama. V'chalitzas muberes lo shma chalitza. Ubias muberes lo shma bia. And the chalitza and the or the yibum you do on the pregnant woman is invalid. Is totally worthless. And if the vlad is not a ben kayama, there's a definite need for chalitza and yibum over here. And that need has not been addressed because the woman is pregnant. V'im tomar, and if you want to say, halacha charov nashim, v'rov nashim vlad ma'aliyah yoldan, that no, maybe we should say most pregnancies end successfully. Most pregnancies end with a vlad ma'aliyah, with a baby that's going to make it, with a viable baby. So if the baby is going to be viable, shouldn't we follow the rov, and therefore there won't be a need for yibum v'chalitza. So let the tzara get remarried. Why are we holding the tzara back? We know that one of the women is pregnant, so let's follow the rov that pregnant woman, Miss Stama, is going to have a viable baby. And so no, so to that the Brisa says, Vlad ain't pota chiyotzi l'avir olam. The Vlad is not going to patur the Zika until he's yotzi l'avir olam, until he comes out. So whether the Vlad is a ben kayama or whether the Vlad is an eno ben kayama, there is an iser in place. There is a Zika in place. The difference is if the Vlad is eno ben kayama, the way to address that Zika is through yibum or chalitza, but we can't do that while she's pregnant. We have to wait till she's no longer pregnant. If the vlad is a ben kayama, the way to address that zika is through the birth of the child. And obviously that doesn't happen while she's pregnant. No yibum, no chalitza is going to help while she's pregnant. The only way to deal with it is through the actual birth of the child. So we had raised this possibility that why don't we say we should follow rov nashim, that rov nashim are vlad ma'aliyah, are able to have a viable baby. So the Prima Gadim raises the question that even if rov nashim vlad ma'aliyah yiladan, even if that's that chazaka is true, there were that rov is true, nevertheless, in general, whenever we have a rov, there's always a miut. So there's always a question, how do we relate to the miut, to the minority, whenever you have a majority? Do we assume chayshinu lemiyuta, lo chayshinu lemiyuta? So that's a machlokas from Meir and other Tanaim throughout Shas. So let's assume, not like Rameir, we assume that we're not chayshinu lemiyuta. But still, very often, it's not only when we're analyzing a situation, it's not only a majority and a minority that we're looking at. There are other factors as well, such as chazaka, that there's a chazaka in play that would lead us in one direction or the other. And typically speaking, when you have a miyut, a chazaka that supports the miyut, we would say smoch miyut on the chazaka. Take the miyut, team it up with the chazaka, and the miyut and the chazaka together should be able to counterbalance the rov, and to say that we don't follow the rov. So ask the Prima Gadim over here also. We have a miyut of Ein and Yodos Vlad Ma'alya, and we have a chazaka, because an isha b'chayibala is b'cheskas heter liyavam. While her husband is alive, she's b'cheskas that she's going to need yibum. So therefore, the chalitzas muberes should work, even according to Reish Lakish as well, says the Prima Gadim, because of the smoke miyut al chazaka. So the Karen Ora says that no, maybe the miyut mapilos is not a miyut shchiach, meaning we often think of things as rov and miyut, but rov could mean 51%, rov can also mean 98%. So not every rov is created equal. There's such a thing as a supermajority. There's such a thing as a rov that's whose miyut is going to be so insignificant that it's not going to be strong enough to team up with a chazaka. Maybe this is such a kind of rov. Okay, Amar Reb Lazar, Efshar Isa Lahadir Reish Lakish V'lo Tnan Labi Masnisin. He said, could it be that Reish Lakish had this great chiddush and it doesn't say it anywhere in a Mishnah somewhere? Nafak Dak V'Yashkach. So he went out and he looked to try to find precedent. Try to find a precedent for Shitas Reish Lakish in the Mishnah. But this idea that chalitzas mu'beres doesn't work, it's totally ineffective, where do we find it? Titanan, we have the Mishnah that says as follows. Ha'isha shahalach bala v'tzarasa limedina sayam. A woman whose husband went on a vacation with one of the other wives. He went to have alone time with one of the other wives. Ubo v'amrila meis balech. And then they come back and they report to this woman, your husband is dead. Ha'rezu lo tinase v'lo tisyaveim at sheteda shemu mu'beres. She cannot get remarried to anybody else, nor can she do yibum, because you never know, maybe the tsara who went away with the husband is pregnant wherever she might be, and therefore if she's pregnant you can't do yibum, because if she's if she has a vlad shel kayama, then there's no mitzvah yibum, then it's an isra v'achos ishto of eshes achu shalom makom mitzvah, and if it's not a vlad shel kayama, then she can't get married to anybody else, because you have to worry maybe it's not a vlad shel kayama, so she's stuck, she can't do anything. Says Gemara, bishlami yivume lo shemi ye vlad ben kayama. I understand why you can't do yibum, because maybe the vlad will be a ben kayama v'yifka b'isra eshesach da'oraisa, and therefore you're risking eshesach da'oraisa. But there is another solution. Whenever we don't want to take the risk of yibum, ela lo tachlo tamay, why can't you just do chalitza, and that will be the safe bet, that will be the safe move. There's no isra of doing chalitza on a person when you're not allowed to sleep with them. Can't sleep with them, but you could do chalitza. Chalitza is a risk-free suggestion, and that will potter her to marry whoever she wants. So says Gemara, Bishlam etachlots betoch tes, v'tinase betoch tes lo hainu safek. So I understand you don't want to let her do chalitza and get married to someone else within 9 months, because you're still running the suffix of maybe the vlad is a ben kayama or not a ben kayama. El etachlots betoch tisha v'tinase la'achar tisha. But why don't you at least let her do chalitza within the 9 months, and then let her get remarried after the 9 months are over? Says Gemara, L'temech, tachlos fitinase le'achatisha. Yeah, according to that logic, she could do everything after 9 months are over. Meaning, there's obviously a solution for her if she just waits till 9 months are over, and then you know what the story is with the baby. Ela bar minodahi. But rather, we have to say that this is not a raya at all. Da'abai barabba rav chinna barabai, da'amri travayu, shemi yevlad ben kayama v'nimtza atamatzricha karuz l'kuhuna. The concern over there was a totally different concern. It's not only about yibum v'chalitza issues that we're concerned about. We're concerned that the vlad is going to be a ben kayama, which would mean that there was never a need for yibum or chalitza, but we did chalitza on this woman to be mater because we weren't sure at the time, and everyone's going to think, oh, so she's a chalitza, she can't marry a kohen. And then it's going to cause this great need to advertise everywhere that this woman is not a chalitza, the chalitza wasn't a real chalitza, it's not going to work out. So says Mar Vilitzricha, why won't it work out? Advertise, let everybody know, make big announcements in all the newspapers that this woman is not a chalitza, the chalitza that we just did, was just l'chumra, and then it turned out that it wasn't really necessary. So it says, well, no, dilni iga inish tavi b'chalitza v'lavi b'achraza. You never know, there might be people that see the chalitza but don't see the achraza, that don't read the papers that week. V'asi l'meimer kashari chalitza l'kohen. And they're going to come and think that you could be matir chalitza to a kohen. We don't want that to result from this whole ordeal, so we'd rather avoid the need for chalitza entirely. Amle Abaye, midi lo tachlots lo tisyavim katani, lo tinasev lo tisyavim katani, below chalitza. Avli chalitza achinami desharia. Abaye says, no, the whole raya is not, what's the whole kasha? Why don't you just let her do chalitza while she's pregnant, and while the other woman is pregnant? And achinami, you could do chalitza while the other woman is pregnant, but they didn't say you can't do chalitza. It said that if she wants to do yibum, she wants to be with a man, either get married to one of her deceased husband's brothers, or go and marry someone else, that you can't do yet without some sort of chalitza. But in Chinami, if you do a chalitza, then she will be allowed to go marry somebody else. So again, this is not a raya. The looking for precedent for Reish Lakish in the Mishnah about the isha shalcha tzarasu b'ayla l'medina siyam, and the husband dies, that she's asura b'chalitza, apparently is not a raya for one of two reasons. Either if you do a chalitza and the vlad is not a ben kayama, you're going to require the achraza, and we're worried about a situation of achraza, or the Mishnah doesn't ask a chalitza at all. It only says that you can't do yibum and you can't do nisuin. Tanya Kavasid Reish Lakish. We have a brisa though that supports Reish Lakish as follows: Hacholitz Lumu Beres VePila Tzricha Chalitza Mina Achin. If someone does chalitza on a pregnant woman and then she miscarries the baby, still there's going to be a requirement for a further chalitza. So you see that the chalitza that was done on the pregnant woman was invalid; it didn't work. So very clear brisa that says exactly like Reish Lakish. Considering that we have a brisa that supports Reish Lakish exactly, Amar Rava Hilchsa Kavasid Reish Lakish. We have the halacha follows Reish Lakish in these three situations. Chada Hadi Amran, one, the case of Chalitzas Mubaris that we just spoke, and now we're going to have two more cases where the halacha follows Reish Lakish. The Achronim point out, the Chavis Yair and others point out that the fact that the Gemara has to say Hilchsa Kavasa Reish Lakish Bani Tlas tells us that generally speaking, when you have Machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is always like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, which makes sense, Rabbi Yochanan was Reish Lakish's Rebbe. So generally speaking, we're going to pass on like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish. There is a discussion in the Achronim, the Yehuda and the Ksav Sofer, whether this rule that we always pass on like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish is only in Bavli or also in Yerushalmi. So that's a discussion that the Achronim have. The Ritva, however, over here says, why do we have to be Mechadish over here that Allah is like Reish Lakish? Whenever we have a Tanya Kavasi to Reish Lakish, that Allah is like him. Meaning that's another klal in halacha, that when you have a Tanya Kavasid Reish Lakish and no Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, that alone tells you that the halacha is like Reish Lakish. Why does the Gemara have to specifically point out, Rav have to specifically point out that the halacha is like Reish Lakish? So the Ritva says, Einachinami, for our case it's not necessary to point it out, but he wanted to introduce the other two cases where the halacha is like Reish Lakish, where we don't have a Tanya Kavase, we don't have a Braisa that explicitly supports Reish Lakish in the other two cases where we pass on like him. What are these other two cases? Idach, so one of the other two cases is the following. Tetnan, hamechalik nechasav al piv. If a guy is dividing up his estate before he dies, riba la'echad, umiyet la'echad, v'ish v'lem es ha-bukhar, and he decides that instead of having his children get the same amount, or instead of having his bukhar get pishnaim, meaning instead of following laws of Yerusha, the way they're supposed to go, he determines this one's going to get a little more, this one's going to get a little less, the bukhar is going to get the same as everybody else. Dvarav kayamin. It works. What he says works because he's giving it during his lifetime. It's not Yerusha. If we're Yerusha in Echanami, he doesn't have the ability to change the laws of Yerusha. But this is a Matana Bechayev. He's still alive and he's giving it as a Matana. But Vim Amar Mishum Yerusha, Lo Amar Klum. As soon as he says that he's doing it Mishum Yerusha, well then it's invalid. You can't change the halachas of Yerusha. But Kasa Bein Bechila Bein Besof Bein Beemsa Mishum Matana Dvarav Kayamin. If he writes anywhere in his lashon that he's giving it b'shem matana, then it is going to work. V'am Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish commented on that. This is the second halacha where we're going to say like Reish Lakish, liolam lo kana ad sheyomer ploni uploni yorshus ad plonus uplonus plonus and satam la matana v'yorshum. That he's only kona as Rashi points out over here to understand this line. Lo amasnisin palig. This is not arguing on the Mishnah. Elahasam b'yeshnochlem pligi amarei b'diyuka demasnisin. The chiyasa rabin amar yarash ploni sada ploni v'tinasin sada ploni leploni. What if a guy says this one should yarshin and that one should get his portion as a matana? So then what? Is that called Midine Yerusha? Or is that called Midine Matana? How's he working over here? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kana, Afilu Haid Yerusha. Rabbi Yochanan says it works like a matana, and therefore even the one that he used the Lashon of Yerusha on, it would work. Demida Adker B'Lashon Matana B'Hai Shtar Tzava L'Chad Minayu. Kulunami matana ninu. Rabbi Yochanan understands that as long as the word matana appeared in any context in that shtar, even if it's only about one of his sons and the other ones were all b'lashon and Yerusha, we view the entire thing as a matana. But Reish Lakish Amar, that's Reish Lakish over here, is saying li olam lo kana hud Yerusha damrin and lahai have a matana lahai Yerusha ad sheyomar to take a lashon matana atravayu. That he has to specifically word it in a way. He can have the word Yerusha all over the place, but he has to specifically, when he puts the word matana in there, it has to specifically relate to all of the brothers. Only when the word matana goes and relates to all of the brothers is it going to be a valid lashon of matana, where you can suspend the normal halachos of how Yerusha would be divided up. So that is the second place where we paskin like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. The idach, and the third place where we paskin
like Rish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan, Titznan, Hakosev Kol Nechasov Lebno La'achar Mosov. Let's say a fellow writes over a shtar to his child that his son should get all of his Nechasim after he dies. The father now is no longer allowed to sell any of those nechasim because he's already given it over as a shtar to his child. The son can't sell it because it still remains in the Rosh Hashanah so long as the father is still alive. If the father sells it, then his sale is valid only so long as he stays alive. But once he's dead, it belongs to the son, and therefore whoever buys it from him is only buying the rights to it while the father remains alive. If the son dies first, the lokeach gets nothing. If the son sells it, rather, the lokeach gets nothing until the father dies, because the son has no rights to it until the father dies. So essentially, very straightforward, since the father is going to be the one to be considered the owner so long as he lives, and the son is the owner the day the father dies, each one can only sell what they have the rights to. The father only has the rights to it while he's alive, and therefore whoever buys it from him only gets that. The son only has the rights to it after the father dies, so whoever buys it from the son only gets that. He only gets the rights after the father dies. V'itmar. But then there was the following discussion ensued. What if the son predeceases the father? What if the son dies first? Machra ben b'chayav. Umeis haben b'chayav. What if the son sells it and then the son dies b'chayav? So what do we say then? When the father dies, does the lokeach get it? Or do we assume that no, it never transferred to the son and therefore the son never had the right to sell anything? Rabbi Yochanan amar lo kona lokeach. Rabbi Yochanan holds the lokeach was not kona anything. Reish Lakish amar kona lokeach. And Reish Lakish holds that the lokeach is kona. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo kona lokeach. The reason Rabbi Yochanan says the lokeach is not kona anything is because we have to break up the ownership of this property and understand the ownership by breaking it down into its component parts. When you own a property, you own two things. You own the actual land, and you own the benefits that that land produces. If the land produces fruits, that's what's called kinyan peros. If it happens to be a factory, so it's the products of the factory. It's not lav dafka peros. It doesn't have to be actual fruits. If it's an eved, it's the work that the eved does. There's kinyan haguf, the owning of the actual item itself, and there's kinyan peros. When the father was kosev nechasov lebno, while he was still alive, what he was essentially telling the son is, you are now the owner of this property. I retain the rights to the Kinyan Peros so long as I'm still alive. I'm going to get the Peros. So the father has the Kinyan Peros, the son has the Kinyan Aguf. That's the question. How strong is Kinyan Peros? Is Kinyan Peros considered Kinyan Aguf? Does that mean that you're the real owner when you have Kinyan Peros? So Rabbi Yochanan said that if the son had sold it while he was alive, and then the son predeceases the father, the Lokeach is not Kona anything. Why? Because Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Aguf Dami. The father's Kinyan Peros is the equivalent of a kinyan aguf, and therefore the father is the one of dominant ownership, so the son never owned anything. Reish Lakish amar kana lokeach, because kinyan peros lav kinyan aguf tami. Reish Lakish says no, the lokeach is kona, because kinyan peros is not the same as kinyan aguf, and the son therefore was the rightful owner of it, and therefore did have the ability to sell it. The Rishonim in Maseches Baba Basra discuss why is it that if the father dies while the son is still alive, the mechira is going to be chal. At the time of the mechira, the son didn't have the koach to be mocher, the kinyan aguf. It's like being mocher, what you're going to one day inherit from a father, where a person can't be makna davar shelo b'liolam. Shouldn't this also be considered davar shelo b'liolam? I mean, if you hold kinyan peres, certainly if you hold kinyan peres, kinyan aguf, there was no machlokas in that case, though. When the father dies first, everyone agreed that, yeah, the son's sale is valid, and as soon as the father dies, the guy who bought it from the son is going to become the owner. But at the time the guy bought it from the son didn't own anything. If Yold Kinyan Peres Kikinyan Aguf, the father was the rightful owner so long as the father was alive. This is like selling a Yerusha that isn't there yet. So there are two ways of the Rishonim explain this in Maseches Baba Basra. The Rimigash is quoted by all the Rishonim over there, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran, all the Rishonim quote the Rimigash, that when the father dies, B'chayi Aben, while the son is still alive, the zuchus of the that the father had in the guf goes away, and it goes l'mafreya to the son, meaning when he was kosev nechas of libido, ein achinami. So long as the father's still alive, the father is really the rightful owner, but it's sort of hanging in the balance. And when the father dies, we're able to say that l'mafreya turns out that the son was the owner the whole time, and therefore his mechira l'mafreya will turn out to be a good mechira. The Rashba, however, writes in the name of the Ravid that if the son doesn't die b'chayei av, since it's bali dei abed, so we say that whatever the first guy sold to the second guy calls zchusha tavli yado, that anything, meaning when one guy sells something to somebody else, he's selling him calls zchusha tavli yado, he's selling him anything that I own in this or will own in this, any benefits that I will ever accrue from this property. Say no chinami, he's not the owner right now, he wasn't selling the property right now, he was selling his rights and his benefits in that property, and that's going to include the actual property after the father dies. Okay, so ein avlad shel kayama. The Mishnah went on to say that if the vlad is not a vlad shel kayama, tani mishum Rav Lazar amru yotzi beget. That they said b'shem Rav Lazar that they should be yotzi beget, that he should give her a get, meaning even though if the woman has a miscarriage, it will turn out l'mafreya that the yibum you did on her while she was pregnant, going back to the case of the Mishnah, a guy does yibum on a pregnant woman, so it will turn out that the yibum that he did on her minatora was a yibum, but still he shouldn't stay married to her, because since he did this terrible thing, he had no idea that the vlad was not going to be vlad shel kayama. He went and he was kones a pregnant yavama. That's very risky. If the child is going to be a ben kayama, it'll turn out that he's violating an rayos. So we don't want to reward such behavior. So we don't say, the guy should celebrate. I rolled the dice and I got lucky. It turned out the vlad was not a vlad shel kayama, so I get to stay married to her. No, you don't get to stay married to her. You have to give her a get. We're not going to reward such behavior. We require a get. That's what Blood says. Yotzi beget. Amr Rav, Ramei Rabbi Eliezer, Amru Davar Echad. Ramei and Rabbi Eliezer say the same thing. Because just like Rabbi Eliezer says over here, if a guy is kones a pregnant yavama, that he's motzi beget, Rabbi Eliezer had the Amr, and Rabbi Eliezer is what we just said, Ramei Ditanya, Ramei says something very similar in a different context. The Braisa teaches us, Lo yisa adamu uberes chavero, umeinekas chavero. One is not allowed to marry a mu'uberes chavero or meinekas chavero, a woman who is pregnant or nursing from someone else's child. If a woman is pregnant or nursing someone else's child, but she got divorced or her husband died, one is not allowed to marry her so long as she's still pregnant or still nursing someone else's child. V'im nasa, and if you did marry her, yotzi v'lo yachzi olam istiv remeir. Remeir holds, you have to divorce her and you can never remarry her. Meaning, we're not going to reward bad behavior. So it's exactly like Rabbi Eliezer says over here. Just like Rabbi Eliezer says, doing yibum on a pregnant woman is a terrible thing to risk, terrible thing to do, and therefore even if it turns out that it worked, you have to divorce her. So too, if someone marries Mubaris Chaver or Meinekas Chaver, you have to divorce her. V'cham Mom Yotzi L'Kshiyagi Zmano Lichnos Yichnos. And V'cham disagree. They say, certainly don't stay with her right now while she's a Mubaris Chaver or Meinekas Chaver. So divorce her right now. But once she becomes Mutaris to marry again, so then you'll be able to remarry her. Amalei Abai Mimai. Abai says, how do you know that Rav Lazar and Rav Meir would necessarily agree with each other? These cases are totally different cases. Dil Malohi. Ad kad lo kam Rav Lazar hachal mishum de kapaga bi isereisha sachta o raisa. Aval hasam de rabbanan ka rabbanan svirulei. Maybe the only reason Rabbi Lazar is so strict over here to get rid of this woman that you tried to do yibam on while she's pregnant is because you were risking an isereisha da o raisa. You were risking being pogea eisha sachta da o raisa. But muveres chavero, menekes chavero. That's not an Issa Raisa. That's an Issa Rabbanan that we're concerned that the woman is not going to care for the child. She's going to wean the child off of mother's milk way too early because because the new husband wants to have his own children with her. So we're afraid of the safety and the welfare of the child. So the Rabbanan made a takana, but that's only a takana the Rabbanan. It's not an Issa Raisa. So maybe even Rabbi Eliezer would agree to the sheet of the Rabbanan that he is allowed to marry her once the 24 months of nursing are over after if he has to divorce her temporarily and just remarry her later. Inami, or you could say it in the reverse, that Ad Kan Lo Kama Rabbi Meir Hasam El Mishum Drabbanon V'Chad Masul Chizuk Drevayim Yosem Mishal Torah. Maybe the only reason Rabbi Meir was so strict about Muberes Chaver and Meinekes Chaver was because it was a Din Drabbanon. And we have a concept that sometimes the Chad Marasul Chizuk Drevayim Yosem Mishal Torah, sometimes Drabbanon are concerned that people aren't going to treat the Dinim Drabbanon with enough seriousness, so they made their laws more strict than the Dinim Doraisa. But people are sufficiently scared of Dinim Doraisa in general anyway, so maybe in Echinami on the Doraisa, they would not have made such a takana that you have to be Megarisher, because who was going to risk it? We have no concern that if we don't make this guy be Megarisher, then everyone's going to go around doing Yibum on pregnant women. No one's doing Yibum on pregnant women. Everyone realizes that it's a risk of a terrible Issa Doraisa. Well, no one would do this. So one Meshugana does it, we don't have to make a takana that he has to be Megarish. So it could go either way. The argument could work in either direction. The idea of Menekes Chaver is a fascinating discussion in the poskim, whether it still applies, whether the din of Menekes Chaver, because the halacha Menekes Chaver is for 24 months. That's the Gemara. It says that the assumed time that a woman nurses a child is for 24 months. So there's a sugi and ksuvis about it, how long a woman is supposed to nurse a child. It talks about what the maximum age is, at what point that she must stop, but the natural assumption was that it's 24 months. That actually comes up in the poskim when they discuss spacing children, when they discuss family planning, how much time to wait between children. So some of the poskim had an idea that if the Gemara works with the assumption that a woman nurses her child for 24 months, and the Gemara works with the assumption that while a woman is nursing, she's not able to have children, the Gemara must be working with the assumption that there's a 24-month spacing between the children. So that's the question the poskim discuss. Should we assume that if a person feels like they need 24 months to give time to that child before the next child, is that a viable enough reason? Because you see that for the nursing, for the physical health of the child, that was a viable enough reason to give the 24 months. There are some poskim that say that in Europe that used to be the minhag, others deny it. Okay, whatever, there's a big discussion in terms of that. But the 24 months is somewhat difficult to relate to nowadays, because the large majority of women who nurse even who nurse for a while will not nurse for 24 months. 24 months is an exceedingly long time for a person to nurse. So there is the Chachma Shlomo, his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, says that bizmanenu, since nishtana ateva, and women don't nurse for more than 18 months. That's the standard, is 18 months, he says. So only Echad Me'elef is Yonek for 24 months, so you're allowed to marry Menekes Chavero. You don't have to wait for 24 months. Even though Bezin is not able to be Mbatal Divrei Bezin Chavero, the Gezero wasn't a 24-month Gezero. The Gezero was so long as it's normal to nurse. So the Iker Takana was done in such a way, so long as it's normal to nurse. And now it's only normal to nurse for 18 months. That's why it's not a violation of being Mevatel Divrei Bezin Chavero. In the Tshuvas Chesed Avram, he has a different suggestion why it's not a violation of being Mevatel Divrei Bezin Chavero. He also wants to be Mekel. And he says the Takanas Chazal is not Batel. Even when the Tam of a Chazal is Batel, in general, we know that Bezin, in order, the Rambam Chesmam, the Gemara says that in order to be Mevatel Divrei Bezin Chavero, you need a Bezin that's Gadol B'Chachum Minyan. We don't have a Bezin that's Gadol B'Chachum Minyan. But Chesed Avram says that's only when you're Mevatel Takana B'Kum Vaseh. But if you're mevatel takana b'shevi al taseh, then you don't need a beizdin that's gadol b'chacham minyan. He says, just like on a daraisa, by dinim daraisa, the chum have the right to be yoker davar Torah b'shevi al taseh. So what? They don't have the right to be yoker a din d'rabbanan that was made by a beizdin that happened to be greater than b'chacham minyan b'shevi al taseh? If they have the right to do that on dinim daraisa, then for sure on dinim d'rabbanan. And he says, allowing a menekes to get remarried is called being yoker the takana b'shevi al taseh. Wait a second, why is that called being ogre the takana b'shevi al taseh? She's getting remarried, that's doing something. So he says, because the ikar takana is not to wean the child. That's the takana, don't wean the child off the milk. But there were choshesh that, because you can be gomel b'na, by getting married and having another child, and therefore we don't let her get married. But the takana was not really about getting married, it was not to wean the child too early. It's just that getting married is going to cause you to wean the child too early. So since the ikar takana karma is to nurse the child and not to wean the child before the Zman. So when she gets married and she weans the child, she's not violating the Takana B'kum Vaseh, it's only B'Shevi Al Taseh. She's not nursing the baby. So that's all called Shevi Al Taseh. So then Bezin is allowed to be Mvatel, Divrei Bezin Chavero. That's quite a Chiddush. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this also, Nebuchadnezzar Chel Bezin. He says, L'chol HaPachos, after 18 months, you can marry Menekes Chavero? And he says, because there never was a halacha of 24 months. The din of Menekes Chavero is that the last 3 months of nursing, she shouldn't get remarried. So it's just that it was always understood that it was 24 months that a woman was nursing. So whenever those last few months of nursing are, and whenever the last few months of nursing that you expect to be, that's when you're never allowed to get married. Amar Rava, Uldivre Chachamim Yotzia Beget. According to the Chachamim, you have to be Motzi her Beget. Amar Mazutra, Dekanami, Diktani Yotzi, Velokani Yafrish, Mamina. Meaning, even the Chachamim disagreed with Rav Meir. When a guy marries Menekes Chavero, Mu'uberes Chavero, so the Chachamim said, don't worry, you'll be able to marry her, but just not now. So if you married her now, get rid of her, take her back in 24 months once she's ready. What does it mean, get rid of her? Does that mean just separate? So no, the Gemara is Mechadish, Rav is Mechadish, that when the Rabbanan say get rid of her, it means get rid of her with a get, and then you're going to have to remarry her, which of course begs the question, what if the fellow is a Kohen? What do we do for him then? If the guy is a Kohen and he marries Muberes Chavero, Menekes Chavero, and he wants to be able to marry her, according to the Chum that he's allowed to, he just has to be Motzi or Beget. Well, he can't be Motzi or Beget. So that's going to be the next discussion. The Gemara Be'ez Hashem will pick up with that tomorrow.